We're talking with Craig Gooden, who's the current vice president, National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Craig, for our listeners, first of all, give us a little bit of a pedigree of your cattle operation.
Well, I'm a cattle feeder in central Nebraska. That's how I got my start. We built a feedlot operation for the mid-80s, and it's grown. And I've stepped away from the day-to-day on that, but I still am one of the owners, so I'm still very involved. Also, my family, we developed into a few cow herds, and now we've got about 3 cow herds out there, and that consumes a lot of time. And we do the gate-to-plate concept from the breeding to the growing to the finishing, and very involved. And I don't do much that doesn't involve cattle.
So you kind of got the full gamut as far as the experience within the industry itself then.
Yes, I even deal a little bit in the purebred, and I've even tried her hand in trying to market product, Nebraska product years ago, and got a taste of what the packers even go through. So, yeah, I've kind of gate to plate.
Just wrapped up summer cattle industry conference. The industry, the task force, has come up with a freshening up of the long-range plan. Now 2016 to 2020 is your target for some new, goals that you've set, a 2% increase on beef demand improvement on an annual basis. How do we get there?
Well, that's a pretty lofty goal. We think 2% isn't a lot. And these guys did a lot of work on this plan. It'll enact in 2017, be a five-year plan. Really and truthfully, the thing that they pointed out first and foremost is we're going to have to continue to improve on exports. Because, we do have 96-97% of the population lives with outside our borders. There's growing demand for our product as these other countries' income increases. And we still own taste and we still own the quality. So there's a lot of demand out there. And that probably, truthfully, is one of our greatest opportunities is the export. But we don't want to leave anything laying around on the home front either.
And really a fair amount of attention within the drivers in regards to the consumer and the need to build trust with that consumer.
People want to know how it's produced. We're in a millennial generation today, and they make up a very large portion of our population. Mm-hmm. And they want facts, and they want information, and we need to provide that to them. I got a lot of confidence that they're going to move in the right direction, but it is a tall task because we have that advantage to be able to afford to ask those kind of questions, and we need to be ready to answer them and make them feel confident because, safety is the number one driver. We've proven that we've accomplished a lot in that segment, and consequently we haven't had a lot of issues with safety, mm-hmm. and now we just need to show them how it's produced if they demand it.
And, the industry has made the conscious choice through the checkoff to, really talk to the consumer via digital advertising efforts. From a producer point of view, was that kind of a hard leap to get your arms around?
That was very hard. One thing, I used to be the chairman of the Federation years ago, and advertising has always been a buzzword, and to move to the digital was a real step out of the box. And when you look at the millennials, this is how they travel. I was asking two young ladies that were going into the ag profession 2 days ago, how do you get your information? And they say 9 out of 10 of them will go to the net, and that's where they're going to do their business. And the Generation X's use it an awful lot too, and the bloggers. So it is where we're going to touch the consumer in this country.
When it comes to some of the regulatory issues, DC issues, seems like we just have so many things that we're trying to deal with right now.
We're dealing with a lot of things. WOTUS comes to mind right now. WOTUS is a big issue. We've asked and continue to ask that they set that aside and go back. And anytime you formulate a law without rules, you're asking for issues. Being a feedlot operator, I'm a CAFO. So it is a great challenge to operate your own facility under regulations that change periodically and all the time. Mm-hmm. You may spend $50,000 to comply. Three years later, they may want you to do something totally different. So it's a big intrusion, and it leaves interpretation out there, and there's no set rules. So that's a big issue. Country of origin labeling has been a huge issue, and hopefully we get something done with that in the next 30 days, because if we don't, we're trading, we're asking for a lot of issues, because we've lost four times the World Trade Organization. Consequently, we've got Canada and Mexico ready to file injunctions and tariffs on our product and $3 billion. Now, people say, well, we can trade somewhere else. But these guys are 30% of our export business, $3 billion. And if we had to consume that, that'd be somewhere in the 2% to 3% range on a volume basis, dollar-wise. Mm-hmm. Could have a huge impact on the market and kind of derail this opportunity to grow the industry.
Kind of inside baseball, the industry... seeing Forrest Roberts step aside as CEO of NCBA, I know there's transition there. Talk about dues increase. Where do we stand with some of these things? You know, how's the industry? You know, what's your feedback from producers on these?
Well, you know, we operate at NCBA. We operate as a team, our officer team, and we listen. And a year ago, the Finance and Audit Committee recommended that we look at a dues increase. And so it was proposed to the executive board, and then it was worked on all through the winter and into the spring to come to summer conference. Mm-hmm. And some people thought it was too big of an increase. It's a 50% increase, so if we had a $100 base membership, it's going to $150. So some people thought that was a big move, so the options were developed, and consequently, you can either move into the 50% category the first year, or you have 3 years to move in segments. So, you know, after we had it, we went and discussed, got it out in the open, heard everybody's concerns, it passed overwhelmingly, and we're going to use a lot of those dollars to help our DC effort. The last few years we've needed to concentrate in that direction, and that was the direction that the exec committee and the board wanted to go, so that's where we're going to go. So later at this conference you'll hear some of the DC team present, and you'll know how dynamic and how engaged they are on a day-to-day basis. Right. The other thing, we're looking at opening market access, because we just talked about having the issue with exports. We have to have that market access, and we're going to have some funds to work on that. As far as Forrest, Forrest has done a tremendous job for NCBA. He came at a critical time and made a lot of structural changes that really improved the way the business operates. And we wish him well in the future. We know he'll be part of this industry. But as we move forward, we keep moving forward, and we didn't miss a step, and away we go.
So what, I guess a search team or a team to consider along with a national outside outfit to come together and some ideas, right?
Yes, and, you know, we will look. We're in that process right now. We're doing some. We're working back and forth with the officer team, and we're reaching out to the states, because this is a state-national partnership. And the states said, let's not rush it. Let's make the right decision. Let's move. We're in very comfortable hands with Kendall Frazier at the interim, and let's do the right thing and make sure we communicate what the industry needs and move forward in a very strategic manner.
Okay, great.